The World Conference on Disaster Reduction convenes this week in Kobe, Japan. The destruction and loss of life after the Indian Ocean tsunami will no doubt be on the minds of experts. Today marks the anniversary of another event, the 7.2 earthquake that shook Kobe 10 years ago, which no doubt will get attention from the experts meeting there as well. A second conference will look at disasters. It is the Conference of Urban Disaster Reduction. Charles Eady is its co-chair. He has worked on rebuilding after the 7.1 Loma Prieta earthquake that struck Northern California in 1989. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Perhaps you could take us back to the earthquake in Kobe. After that earthquake, what were some of the key problems that the city of Kobe needed to address?
Well, I think it's really important to understand how significant that earthquake was, because it was a major devastation on a modern city, a modern industrial city, and the damage was just substantial beyond what anybody had imagined for this area. There were 6,400 deaths and 40,000 injured. Hundreds of thousands of structures were destroyed in vast areas of the cities. Neighborhoods were completely burned out. They lost a third of their shopping districts. The port was disabled. The infrastructure was essentially destroyed. And in fact, it took several months before they even had water service restored in a city of 1.4 million people. So they had a big problem to start with. And the estimates now are that the total regional cost of this earthquake was about $100 billion.
Wow. And how much have they been able to rebuild? How much have they been able to rebuild in the 10
Well,
years?
It's been a remarkable achievement in many ways, because you come to Kobe now, and I was here actually when the earthquake happened 10 years ago, and I was here yesterday for the 10-year anniversary. The infrastructure is rebuilt. There are new repaired roadways, the Hanshin Expressway, which you saw maybe the images of this expressway had tipped over. It's all rebuilt. The port is up and functioning. Many of the neighborhoods have been improved in the sense of streets have been widened and houses have been rebuilt. So to the casual observer, you might say that it's hard to find a lot of residual damage in place. But underneath that, there are a lot of problems. The business in many of the areas has not returned maybe to three-quarters of the level it was before the earthquake. The port has lost a lot of business. And the city itself is in major debt from the cost of rebuilding. They have to pick up maybe 20%, and the central government has picked up about 80%. They don't know how they're going to pay for it.
What lessons are there to be learned for the countries that were hit by this tsunami in terms of the rebuilding that they have to do? Are there lessons that can be learned from Kobe?
Oh, yes. Well, first of all, I think it's important to understand that when you rebuild, you're never putting it back the way it was. You have to transform your community, and Kobe has tried to do that. They've tried to create an image and a niche for themselves. They're trying to restore some of the qualities that they had, but at the same time, they're trying to become a center of health and education and do things differently. Second lesson, I think, is to build in mitigation when you rebuild. A third lesson, and it's one that I think they're struggling with here, is how to regain the sense of place and community. Many of these neighborhoods that were destroyed were not able to be rebuilt in a way that recreated the social connections and the interactions that people had had. And loneliness has been a big problem, particularly for the elderly population that was highly victimized by the earthquake.
Because, of course, this has a devastating human effect as well as just the destruction of infrastructure.
Well, that's the whole point, is that underneath the hard stuff is the soft stuff of the social connections. And there was just a thing in the paper yesterday about they had a record number of single elderly people who died, and they're talking about loneliness as being a major problem. So you lose elements of your community in a disaster. And I think the lesson there is that you have to work very hard to recreate those elements and to have the social services and have the connections among people and get the neighborhoods connected again. And they have worked hard to do that, but it's not an easy thing to do.
Well, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Charles Eady is Assistant Director of Redevelopment and Housing in Watsonville, California. He joined us from Kobe, Japan, for the Conference of Urban Disaster Reduction. That is separate from the UN conference that's also being held there this week. The massive tsunami disaster in Southeast Asia will dominate the conference in Kobe this week. But on the internet, some virus writers are using the tragedy for nefarious purposes. With us now is Graham Cluley, senior technology consultant for the internet security company Sophos. He joins us from his home in Oxford, England. Thanks for joining us.
Hello there.
Can you tell us about this new virus?
Yeah, this new virus called VB Sun, it sends itself around via email, and it poses as a plea for donations to do with the tsunami disaster. So you receive an email saying, tsunami donation, please help. And if you click on the attached file, it's actually a virus. So it's not about donating money at all. It's actually about spreading a piece of computer malicious code all over the internet.
What is the purpose? What's the target here?
Well, what's interesting about this one, I think there's really two purposes here. One is to cause mischief. One of the intentions of the virus writers in this instance is to clog up email bandwidth with multiple copies of this virus. But hidden inside the virus is another piece of code. And what that does is it launches what we call a denial of service attack against a German hacking website. And that intention is to knock or blast that website off the internet. So I think this could be something of a skirmish between two rival hacking gangs who are using innocent people's computers as their playground.
Is there any point in asking what the point of that is? Or
Well, young people, you know, who are into computers, many of them will be in these loosely formed gangs who hack into computers and cause mischief and do things which the rest of us would probably think were irresponsible. But sometimes these gangs have enemies, and so rival gangs may try and cause a nuisance to each other and knock each other's websites off. I don't think there's any grand purpose in this virus, like making money, as we've seen some other viruses. I think this one is mostly about mischief making.
How can people protect themselves from this?
Well, there's a few ways you can protect yourself. Obviously, I'm going to say, you know, keep your antivirus software up to date. We see something like 1,000 new viruses every month here at Sophos, so it's important to keep that up to date. But the other thing you can do is also just practice what we call safe computing. You should always be very suspicious of any unsolicited email attachment, because often the virus writers will disguise it as either something slightly salacious, wanting you to click on it, or they pretend that it's something to do with current events or the news, as in this case.
Now, there were also reports that right after the news of the tsunami hit, there were scam sites that were trying to solicit funds that were not real. Has that trouble been taken care of, or...?
That problem is still carrying on a little bit. Suddenly we've seen, for instance, bogus websites pretending to be the American Red Cross and looking to the naked eye very much like you're on the real Red Cross website. But when you donate money, it's actually going into the pockets of criminals. So make sure you've typed in the right URL, the right website name, if you are going to donate money online rather than in person. Some of these websites have been brought down. The authorities have arrested a few people in connection with these as well. But we're also seeing email scams, people sending around messages around the internet claiming to be victims of the tsunami.
Oh, right, yes.
And saying, please send us money. And in some cases, those are very much bogus.
All right, thanks so much for joining us. Graham Cluley is the senior technical consultant for the internet security company Sophos. In Washington, I'm Lynn Neary, NPR News.